Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to explore the real world of sales. The real people out there really doing it. Some people you really wouldn't imagine ever have to think about sales. Like our guest today, Ashley, you rounded up some cowboy out in the parking lot here. How the heck did you...
I know. I saw him on the horse outside.
Just riding by, and you said, hey, come on over here, partner. We want to talk about sales and horses and stuff here.
Exactly.
So set the scene for us. Who have you got with you today here?
Sure. So we have Brian Thorne today, everybody, and he's a horse expert. So, y'all, it's going to be a really awesome show. So, Brian, why don't you tell us how you got started working?
Before you do, I got to point out one thing here. Anybody watching, Ashley V didn't grow up in a horse ranch. I can tell. She's looking. She's struggling with the cowboy look here today. Here.
My hat's all falling off.
And she said, y'all. That sounded about as authentic as whatever. I don't know, whatever I could come up with.
Yeehaw,
right. Have you ever been on a horse, Ashley?
I have a couple times. I did. I've been to the stable. I've been to horse races. And I think it's fun. I really like horses. And, I think they're beautiful animals. So I did grow up in the city, but I do like the horse industry.
Can I tell you, I've only ever been on a horse twice in my life, and both times I was terrified. I'm one of these horses they lead around, for like little kids or something.
Right.
And to me, it was so big and so intimidating. I've never been on a horse anywhere in my life.
Okay, so Brian can show you how to ride horses. Yeah, he can help you.
Well, what we were talking about, I'll let you guys dive into, is that Orange County still has this image. It wasn't that long ago. We were a ranch. We were a big series of ranches. We grew oranges, Orange County. We had horse farms. We had cattle. There's still the largest ranch, the Rancho Mission Viejo, which carved out all these Mission Viejo and all these other big developments. They still have raised cattle on parts of the ranch here. And yet the people that own the ranch, they live up in Beverly Hills or someplace here. I mean, long ago, they left their roots. They would claim not, but they come down once in a while. But their grandparents were raised on the ranch. We had somebody here, I'll give you one more example. I forgot his name. But he's part of the Moulton family. Moulton had a giant ranch, not as big as Rancho Mission Viejo, and it's where we have where we had Nellie Gale and Laguna Niguel and all those things, and Lisa Viejo. That was all part of their ranch, and all those names, Moulton Parkway and stuff, are there from their family. Nellie Gale Ranch, which is one of the most exclusive areas, which still has horses and horse trails, was named after his grandmother. His grandmother's name was Nellie Gale. So all of this, and they long ago in the 70s sold the whole ranch off. Thought they took a couple million dollars, which they thought was, a godsend. And they bought real ranches up in Northern California and other places. So they continued, because they did not want to, they wanted to capitalize on it, but they did not want to transition into a real estate development company here. Okay. So they took the money, and then they went and bought other ranches, and now they're coming back trying to build a Moulton.
Brian, do you work on these ranches?
No, I haven't heard of any of those. I'm new out to California since September. So
we're going to get Brian a little closer to the mic, or bring the mic closer.
Everything's pretty new out here so far. So
here's my only point is, it was only a generation or two ago that this was all ranches. And there's still an image of us. There's a romantic image of people and horses and cowboys in the West and Southern California.
Right.
But most of us have never even seen a horse, much less ridden one.
They're still there. They're definitely still there. It's just that the cities have grown so fast and so big. They push it out. And it's, you got to travel.
So you think that cowboys are still around?
It's absolutely. Not like absolutely. You couldn't handle 30,000 head of cattle without horses. There's just no way to do it.
Where are there 30,000 head of cattle in Southern California? Are there people?
There's feedlots in Southern California too that feed quite a few dairy cattle and stuff like that.
And
finish cattle out here. There's just no way. Like, you could walk them, but your turnover rate of people would be pretty high because no one wants to walk all day long and chase cattle on foot.
So give us your background, then I'll shut up here. Give us your background, who you are, what you do, and what brought you into the studio today. You do something in the middle of what used to be horse country and is now all car country.
Right, absolutely.
You still raising horses and selling horses.
Right.
So I moved out after high school, and I bought a horse. It was just knowing nothing about horses, and did a lot of trail riding and hunting in the Midwest, and used our horse for that.
Where did you grow up, Brian?
I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and lived in Iowa, Nebraska, and stuff like that in the Midwest. Once I moved out and
you and Warren Buffett together.
My neighbor. Yeah. And once I moved out and got a horse and decided that I really liked it, you know, and just like riding and that kind of stuff, I had a guy that moved into town that was a reining trainer and kind of helped him out a little bit.
So you were working on a ranch with him?
No, we were training horses out of a barn, driving from Omaha to Lincoln every day and riding down there. And really liked it, really got into it. He put me in front of the right people to meet. And
That's great.
Also then introduced me to the feedlot and the ranches. You know, he said, you like riding horses all day long. You could do this for a living, you know, and ride your horses.
Was it like a business that he had?
Yeah, he was a trainer. He was a horse trainer and trained an all-around at that time. Mm-hmm. He kind of did some reining horses, some pleasure horses, and a couple English horses.
And then he sold them to races?
He either sold them or he showed these horses for customers.
Okay.
People would own them. They would come to the shows and watch him compete on their horses.
After
I worked with him, I kind of got out into the ranches and feedlots and was raising some of my own horses at that time to use at work. We were using,
what kind of horses did he have?
All quarter horses. Okay. Just because they're bred more to work a cow. Horses are kind of like throwing a stick to a lab. They're going to go get it. You put a cow in front of a quarter horse and they'll work it.
So when you work on a ranch, are you considered a cowboy or a rancher?
You're considered a cowboy if you're riding all day long. You're a ranch hand if you're riding in the tractor, fixing fence and stuff like that.
Okay,
so
I see.
The cowboys are the ones that care for the cattle constantly.
And so you think the American cowboy is still around?
Absolutely, in so many different states. It's out there. You just have to get off the main highway to see it.
I see. And I think for as far as like the cowboy culture, I think that there's a lot of demand for it, but there's not enough marketing promotions. Like, there's not a lot of Western movies with heroes like John Wayne, Clint Eastwood.
Right, right.
But we do have the Yellowstone TV show now.
The Yellowstone has definitely changed the horse industry. It got a lot more people interested in the horses, which will increase the horse sales. But it also helped the trainers, too. A lot more new people are riding horses now because of the show, which gives business to the horse trainers.
Oh, my gosh.
Helping them out, coaching them, training their horses for them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we do need more movies and more shows like that. I think that even the horse industry overall, cowboy culture, I think that, you know, needs to be promoted more, even the horse races.
Right, absolutely. It's part of our everyday life. People think that
it's still alive and well.
Right. People think that the meat that they eat comes from the back room of the grocery store. It's raised by people that give up their lives to feed us. Mm-hmm. They have no holidays, no birthdays. They work sun up to sundown and pass 7 days a week.
And what's that like when you're a cowboy, you know, like you said, during the cattle? You're working the horses, training them.
It becomes part of your life. You have to want to do it. You have to love to do it or you won't do it. It don't pay the best. It's dusty, horrible conditions. You ride in rain. You ride in snow. It's definitely the worst environment to work in. So you have to love it.
You know, I've seen there's a show on Netflix, How to Be a Cowboy.
Absolutely.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Do you think about that?
A lot of those guys come off of these ranches and stuff, and then they're competing, you know, to see who the top hand is and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
it's a fun show.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, all these new shows are good. They're getting people interested in it, and if they're not buying horses, they're taking lessons. They're going to dude ranches. They're trying these vacations and these cattle pushes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different thing for families to enjoy, too. The kids can go and everything.
Yeah, what's the dude ranches like?
The dude ranch is basically a vacation that you could take your family on, and you'll experience the everyday life of a cowboy. From getting up early, eating breakfast together, saddling, and going out no matter what the weather is to do your job for the day.
Okay. Have you ever worked on a dude ranch?
Never worked on a dude ranch.
Okay. I see.
I kind of stayed away from those and was more into the...
Yeah, you're used to it, right?
So I did a lot of
feedlots
and ranches and stuff like that.
Okay.
I try to stay anywhere where I could be horseback all day long.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah, I see. What's your favorite horse that you've ever had?
I had a stud. His name was Homie. And he is the dad to a few of the babies that I'm riding right now.
Okay.
We hauled him around a little bit and showed him, and just a great horse.
What color was he?
He was a bay, like a brown color.
Okay.
But just produced us some really nice babies that have the mind, athletic ability, and talent that we want in a horse.
So you do horse breeding?
Yes, we raised a lot of our own. And we raised colts to sell at select sales as long yearlings or coming two-year-olds and fit them up for the sale.
How do you breed a horse that's going to be really good for...
Well, a lot of it anymore is selective breeding. We're looking at the mom's bloodlines. What has she done? What has she produced? What kind of horses has she produced? And we're also looking at the dad's side, too. You know, what has he done? What kind of babies? Are they trainable? Are they built right to hold up? All that kind of stuff matters on breeding.
What kind of horses are they?
They're all quarter horses.
Okay.
All American quarter horses.
Have you had any of your horses ever be in races, competitions?
A lot of competitions.
Rodeos?
A lot of competitions.
Okay.
And that was part of, if you're breeding, you kind of want to put your colts in the right hands.
Okay.
They're going to do the best for your program. They're going to get more people to come back and breed to your stud and that kind of stuff. So we always trying to find people that we're going to go out and do something with our horses, compete on them. Make them worth a little bit more and make our program worth a little bit more too.
Okay. What's like the, some of your horses that have won competitions?
We had a 2-year-old out of our stud that was in the American Ranch Horse Fraternity last year that finished in the top five.
And, that's great.
So the colts out of that stud are the oldest are about 4 years old now. So they're just now starting to hit the show pen. They showed a little bit as a 2-year-old. There's a 4-year-old gelding out there that will be starting to rope this year too and going to some rodeos and stuff like that too.
Okay, that's awesome. And who are the people that are buying these horses from you?
Well, we try to advertise privately first. Like I said, put them in the right hands. Somebody that wants to go down the road and show a little bit and get these horses out in front of people so they can see them.
How do you sell your horses?
We'll advertise online mainly. You'll have people come out and look at them. I try to advertise privately before I know I'm going to a sale. There's certain sales every year that we go to, and it'll take about 90 days to get a horse ready to go to that sale.
And so what made you decide to move from Nebraska to California?
It was my girlfriend. She lived out here, traveling back and forth, and just a new place to start a business out here. Like, I thought there was a need for it in Huntington Beach. There's quite a few horse people. There's more horse people than what people think. Just get out there and bring the cow horse deal to out here, you know, like the ranch lifestyle, all that kind of stuff. What we did for a living, let people experience it out here too.
I've actually saw online that California is one of the top states with the most horses.
There is a lot of horses out here.
Because of the weather is really
good. The weather is beautiful. I mean, why would you not want to live somewhere where you could ride pretty much every day of the year and not have to worry about going through snow and stuff like that, not breaking ice during the winter for your water tanks? Life is a lot better out here, too. The horses love it a lot more, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
They don't have to go through the cold winters anymore and all that kind of stuff.
Right, definitely. And so it's like you're kind of bringing the culture here, and you're bringing the horses from Midwest to California.
Most of our horses that we have out here now, well, all of them come from the Midwest. California, from what I've seen so far, has been kind of hard to find horses. With no horse sales available, the selection is not as good as it is in the Midwest. The Midwest, they're producing more horses.
So why is that, then?
Well, the Midwest is producing more horses because they use them for a daily job. They're a tool for them. So they're going to put more on the ground. There's going to be a bigger selection out there than there is here.
Yeah.
Out here, it's a lot of hobbies, a lot of weekend people, and a lot of pets, to be honest.
Okay. They're not really like using the horses for work.
Not really out here. Some of them are. There's lots of ranches out here, lots of feedlots that are still horseback.
Do they like organic? Because everybody thinks, you know, it's all out in California, organic and vegan foods.
Everybody's wanting it now. So these farmers are going to have to put up with the demand that's out there. These guys want organic, so they're going to have to start to go organic for the farmers is very expensive. All new equipment, everything's different.
Oh my gosh.
It's very, very costly to switch over. So you won't see a lot of the big farms switching over very fast, but slowly they're all starting to go that way because that's what we want as consumers is organic.
So for that, I mean, I think that, you know, people, they're trying to eat healthy nowadays and everything, but do people ever ask you about like how it is on the ranch and with the cattle and the horses?
Well, a lot of people, that's the thing. A lot of people think that what we eat is raised at the grocery store or comes from the back room. There's a lot of what it takes to raise that beef, and the care that these critters get to make sure that we're eating good meat is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of eyes watching it. There's a lot of people checking, double checking everything. And before it even goes. Mm-hmm. So we know that we're getting a good product in the end.
And then when you're a cowboy on the ranches and the farms, you're doing all of the cattle too, the cattle herding.
Yeah, basically there'll be a guy that feeds. That's his job, is he feeds all day long, feeds the cattle. And what we would do is we would split up or work as teams to ride through the cattle every day to look for sick ones.
You know, it sounds like I think of a Hallmark movie when I think of these ranches.
Until farms. You're out there in the blowing snow and rain, and then so it's not a Hallmark
movie. It's not all glamorous, no, like people think.
You know, everyone thinks it's great, but like on a average year, I thought there was about 18 perfect days to ride, that it wasn't too hot, too cold, too windy, rainy, or snow. You don't get too many perfect days to ride.
And that's funny you said that your girlfriend is out here in California, because a lot of girls nowadays, they're looking for a guy that's a cowboy or a rancher. You know, it's like girls are tired of all these, like, guys are geeky, just playing video games. Is it true that the cowboys do get more girls than, like, computer technicians?
Well, I don't know. I've never been a computer technician, so I couldn't answer that. But
and the girls need to go to the Midwest or the South.
Yes, for
to
sure.
To find a cowboy.
Okay. For sure. They're not going to find them out here.
Right. Not in California.
No.
Yeah, that's true. I know everybody thinks of it, California is just a beach.
Right.
And they don't think of, like, horses and cowboys. But it's interesting because we do have, like, horse races that are pretty huge out here, too.
Absolutely. The horse racing industry in California, you have some of the main major tracks here.
Have you heard that they've been having a lot of horses dying lately at the horse races?
I've seen some of that. And I don't know what it's from. It could be just overworking some of them. It just could be bad accidents that happen.
Do you think that there's anything they can do to stop the horses from dying so much?
People don't understand. Like, if you have a horse that's on the track and running, you paid very good money for that horse. So the care that they're receiving is the best of care. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't understand. Accidents are going to happen. Nobody wants a horse to get hurt or die.
Sure.
But through use, it can happen. So I don't know if there's something that they could change. I think that they're taken care of to the best of their ability. I just think that sometimes it's out of their hands on what happens. They're animals. They act crazy sometimes, and things happen.
Can I jump in and ask one question here? This is going by so fast here, and there's so many interesting, fascinating things to talk about here. The name of the show is The Real World of Sales, and I know this is just a really interesting look into a world we've never seen before. So maybe sales is the second part of the show someday. But what do you have to do to sell yourself? I don't think of a cowboy as a salesman. A cowboy is independent, he's free, he's working hard, he's tough, he's rugged, he's all these things. He's not a salesman.
Well, you have to be a salesman. I mean, everybody is a salesman. When you work on these horses, you train these horses up, you become a salesman when it comes time to sell it. You're the one who put all those buttons on it, all those hours of training on it. You sell that, you gotta make that horse look good to make you look good.
Do you think it's easier nowadays versus like 20 years ago to do horse sales?
No, I think 20 years ago it was a lot easier because horses were cheaper. The selective breeding wasn't as intense as it is these days. So horses were a little bit cheaper.
So what do people are looking for nowadays?
I think now Yellowstone turned it on. Everybody wants to run, slide, spin, and cut
so
cattle.
Everybody wants a horse now.
Yeah. There's still a lot of people that just enjoy going out and trail riding. They got plenty of horses out here in Huntington Beach that just go out on the trails.
Is that mostly in California, or what about other states?
As far as other states, most of your Midwest states, they're using their horses. They're using them for work. They're competing on them, that kind of stuff. But there is still a big group of trail riders, too, that just enjoy on the weekends going out to the woods, the mountains, wherever, camping.
It's like a way of life.
Yeah, so. Camp with your horse and ride and mm-hmm. explore new scenery.
But for most Californians out here, I would think it's just the affluent. I mean, what's a horse cost? And what's a horse cost to maintain a horse?
Well, out here, it's pretty expensive. We were talking about this earlier that in Missouri, a bale of alfalfa was $5. Mm-hmm. A bale of alfalfa out here can be $31, $32.
And how much? How many bales does this horse eat?
They're going to eat 1 week at least.
And then you got to board them somewhere because you probably don't have it on your own property.
Yes, yep. Right. We're boarding, so you're going to pay for boarding too. You're going to pay for care of that horse when he's at boarding, as far as cleaning your stall and all that kind of stuff.
And then
too.
You got a horse. Somebody tell me about horseshoeing. How expensive that
we
is.
We just had that done this weekend, and that can get very expensive.
And then veterinary bills and medical bills,
very,
et cetera,
very expensive.
So give me a rough idea. What should I budget if I want to have a horse? Here in Orange County.
An open checkbook. And some of these horses, you got to think about this too. Like, there's cheap horses out there for sure. You can get a horse for $1,000, $2,000, $3,000.
You can buy them online too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's sales online, there's private sales online. But you got to think about too, like, what are you worth? It takes one wreck to go to the hospital, and that $2,000 horse became a $15,000 horse.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he threw you or you fell or something.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're not going to get back on when you get out or anything. I always tell everybody, horses are kind of an investment.
True.
You invest in your safety also.
It's like a cheap car versus a high-powered car.
You know, some of these horses now, like, that are really well-trained and stuff are going to cost $20,000. But what you're paying is for a professional's time that did the right job on that horse to make it 100% safe, make it enjoyable for you.
And that's good. I think some of those sites I've seen, they look like an Amazon for horses. And then it's tough because you have people that don't know anything about horses that just want one.
And that's the problem is, like you said, just click on the button and before you know it, you got a horse coming your way.
Yeah, it's like buying a pair of shoes online.
Yes,
to them.
But once they get that, they understand too, this is a big animal and
it's different.
They kind of got a mind of their own, you know, if you let them. For an inexperienced person for the first time, I would say you need to work with somebody, a professional, that's going to help you out. Things can happen too fast and you can get hurt. That's why I tell everybody to invest in something that's safe, quiet, and broke. It may be a lot of money now. You buy that $2,000 horse, he sends you to the hospital, then you got to send him to a trainer afterwards. Before you know it, you got just about as much in that horse as you would buying a good one to start with.
Yeah, I mean, look at Christopher Reeves.
Right.
You know, he got thrown off the horse and paralyzed forever.
Right, and it happens. I mean, I've seen Life Flight come to the feedlot and pick guys up that have had bad horse wrecks.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it'll happen, and it'll happen very fast.
Yeah, I think people just think horses are beautiful and majestic, but they don't think it's an animal.
Right.
It's
an animal with its own mind. And it's
a big animal, powerful animal.
Yeah, they're 1,000 pounds, and when they move, they're going to move quick. And if you're in their way, they don't care.
And the quarter horses are very fast.
They're fast, and they're built very thick, too. Very, very thick horses. So
I've seen them in the races.
Yeah.
They're so quick. It's like they're like as fast as a car.
They're very quick in that first quarter mile. That's where they got their name from. And they use them on the track, too, for the outriders and stuff that catch the horses that get loose. Those are all quarter horses that are chasing thoroughbreds down.
What's this? Not to go down a whole another rabbit hole here, but we'll peek around and look down the rabbit hole for a second. We had the great William Shatner on the show last year. He loves riding electric bikes, and he was on an electric bike show. The guy's 90. And his love is horses. He's been a horse.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
I don't know what kind of horses. He has some kind of rare horses that he competes in and raises, and he has a big ranch in Tennessee or Kentucky. I'm trying to think of what they're called. There's different styles of horses.
That's the thing.
That's show the thing. Horses like, and stuff.
Yeah. We play with American quarter horses, but there's so many other breeds out there. There's Arabians, there's Morgans, there's every breed, and they all have a gathering and following just like we do in the quarter horse.
So where are they each get different at?
A lot of it is like they started over here, and the Arabian blood is in about every horse we have right now. It was one of the first horses over here. So it's
from where?
I think it was Spain that brought
it. Because all the Spanish conquistadors and stuff. There were no horses in America.
Right.
Horses are not native to America.
No, they were brought over here on boats.
I didn't learn that in history class.
Yeah.
Cattle were brought over here on boats to start with, too.
Wow. Right.
So I hate to say, but Cortez and Pizarro and all these guys came to Mexico and just slaughtered the Indians, part of it was because they had horses. They'd never seen horses before. Right.
So it's easy for them to kill the Indians.
Well, yeah, the horse is powerful. Cavalry, you charge through the horse and you go right through the troops and everything here.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're standing above everybody.
It's
and the
like
horse
another side of history.
Stomping everybody, too, and everything. You know, the horses, that was a powerful weapon for centuries. Europeans brought over horses, and the natives just had never seen a horse. And then I don't know what point they started adopting and riding horses.
Maybe they just stole the horses. And they're like, well, we're going to try this too.
I don't know, but they became, they adopted horses. Horses were not native to America.
Wow.
I don't think.
I think so. We should just go back to riding horses, right? Instead of cars.
Well, it's cheaper than filling up your gas tank.
That's true.
You're not going to get there very fast, though.
There aren't any solar horses, though. And, you know, when I was in New York City several times, you know, they used to, I think they've since banned it, but they had the horse-drawn carriages around Central Park. And
I've been on one of those.
Part of the problem was that, you know, obviously they didn't interact with traffic very well.
Okay.
And part of it was because they pooped all over the place.
Yeah.
And so how do you keep that?
Yeah.
What do you do with that? Somebody's got to go clean up all this stuff here.
Yeah, the horse is like, I'm not going to do it, guys. You have to do it. You have to handle it.
Well, all right, so final words. If somebody wanted to get into your world, is it too late? Are you the last of the Mohicans here?
No. We see right now, like, people that are just starting to ride for their first time in their 40s and 50s.
There's
a place for everybody. There's horses for everybody.
But as a business, is this something, if you weren't, I'm talking to a kid in the suburbs here of Orange County, wants that different lifestyle, that wants that cowboy lifestyle, whether they think it's romantic or free or something here. They didn't grow up with this.
Right.
They've seen it on television, and they decide, I want to get into this world. Which you say so casually, I got out of high school, I bought a horse. I got to tell you, I don't know anybody that ever got out of high school and bought a horse. Never heard of such a thing. Never occurred to anybody in my high school, hey, let's go buy a horse.
And, you know, it's like anything else. Like, how bad do you want it? How much work do you want to put in? You know, if you put the work in and you go learn it, you could do that out here. Anybody
Brian,
can do it.
You teach people.
Yeah, we do lessons from beginners to advanced. We're in Huntington Beach at Golden West Stables. Also, we'll have a cattle sorting clinic coming up August 19th at Circle S Ranch.
Cattle sorting clinic.
So, and this would be for anybody that wants to get into it or just get your horse around cattle and learn how to move cattle with your horse.
That is so cool.
So that'll be on the 19th.
And give us a website. How do we reach
Circle S Ranch has a website, and that'll be listed on there soon here. And he also does a lot of fun shows out there to get people introduced to the Western lifestyle. He's got a beautiful facility out in Silverado Canyon.
And you guys are moving there, right?
No, we're doing a clinic with him right now, and then possibly getting some horses out in that area in the near future.
What's your website, Ian Burns?
The website would be Thornton Quarter Horses of Huntington Beach, and we have an Instagram page with Thornton Quarters.
You know that nobody would think that there's a quarter horse ranch or raise, any whatever you call yourself. What are you, a trainer?
We train horses.
Nobody would think to look in Huntington Beach for quarter. You say Thornton Quarter Horses of Huntington Beach. That sounds like saying, I don't know, pick some crazy analogy here. That seems like
you'd be very surprised. The Huntington
He's
Beach
like
Equestrian Center has about 400 horses in Huntington Beach.
That'd be like looking for a yacht club in Omaha.
So they're out there, you know. It's just they're kind of hidden, like you said. It's available. Like out here, there's lessons available for anybody that wants to do English Western.
And you do all of this for people.
I do Western.
And you're selling horses to people.
And we sell horses. Well, if you're looking to buy a horse, I'll find the right horse for you.
And English and Western is what? The different ways you ride?
Yeah.
Different saddles?
Different disciplines, different saddles, and all that kind of stuff, too.
That's really nice that you're actually bringing all of your knowledge and experience from the Midwest, which is like the center of horses, out here to California to teach people out here and help everyone.
Well, and let everybody
know.
You're
like the pioneer of horses out here.
The pioneers have come back again. Yeah, the pioneers came out south of the West, and then the West overran them, and now the new breed of pioneers are coming back to bring back the old world, the old ways.
So these people that come out from lessons and maybe have never been on a horse before, they fall in love. Like the first lesson, they just love it. They love the feeling of it, being able to control an animal that big and get along with them.
Yeah,
so I think it's a good thing to have in the area. There's not a lot of it, but anybody that's wanting to learn, we definitely would help out.
And what was your website again? www.
ThorntonQuarterHorses.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Thornton Quarter Horses, for riding up, partner. Come up with all the other cowboy analogies I can think of here. You gonna what should we say as cowboys? We ride off into the rain, ride off into the west, or something.
The sunset.
Sunset. There's got to be some way to end this
there
show
here.
Right off into the sunset.
Right, awesome.
I should have Roy Rogers on there. All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, everybody. If that's not a reason to tune in each and every time to the Real World Sales, I don't know what it is. We're going to talk about real people and what they're really doing. Some amazing people out there. People you wouldn't think of as salespeople. And how they're, not just what they're doing, but how they're doing it. How they're telling people they're doing it. And how they're selling their services right here. On Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from the University of California, Irvine's Beal Light Innovation Center.